Our theme today is love. In our society, we think and speak a lot about love of different types. Sometimes the challenge, the radicality, the enormity of the type of love to which God calls us can be lost behind individual one-on-ones expressions of love. Sometimes, around February, the noise of violin strings, rose petal and Valentine cards distracts us from other forms of love. Sometimes it might be, for families, the blur of sleepless nights, the piles of nappies, other parenting and grandparenting responsibilities, all expressions of love that distract us from the bigger picture. Or, at the other end of life, there are the many sadnesses and occasional joys of caring for a parent or a partner who's no longer the person they once were. That too is an act of love, and an important one. But love is much bigger than any of those one-on-one expressions, although at the same time, acting love in that one-on-one way is part of the bigger picture too. This morning, as we've done every Sunday in Advent, we'll begin by listening to voices of people elsewhere. These voices we hear today are enacting both that one-on-one form of love and a wider collective form of love. They're doing so without the social, economic and health supports that we enjoy. If you have caring responsibilities, or even if you remember being a parent, just think about what that might have been like without electricity or running water. This week, we travel across hemispheres to southern Nepal, to Butwal, a large and noisy town on the Terai, the low-lying marshlands between the foothills of the Himalayas and the Ganges River. Partnership for New Life, PNL, was established in 1999 by a group of local Nepali churches in Butwal with guidance from United Mission to Nepal. PNL now provides community-based rehabilitation and other services to enable people living with disability and their families to participate more fully in community life and to enhance their capacity to care for themselves. As well as working directly, that one-on-one love if you like, PNL with its staff, volunteers and churches do other things. They do street drama. They get political. They go to the government, local and national and sometimes international. They speak with businesses and churches and schools and other voluntary groups. They hold singing competitions and run festivals and sport days. All this to spread the word that people living with disability are people. People whose opinions ought to be heard and whose needs need to be prioritised because they are more vulnerable than others and deserve dignity and respect. They are people who can contribute to community if we let them. The one-on-one immediate expression of love is combined with a broader expression of love which seeks to change attitudes and to build in better infrastructure to prevent disability in the first place, but also to help those who are living with struggles like that to participate more fully and live better lives. So we're there, guests of Partnership for New Life, and we set off early in the morning, riding pillion on a motorbike. We're accompanying Santosh, an assistant rehabilitation supervisor, on his daily rounds. We're wearing a local motorcycle helmet. We're carrying a local backpack on our back. We're wearing clothes that no one, we hope, will notice. We're pretending not to be foreigners. It could be dangerous for Santosh and for PNL and the families with whom they work if government officials learnt that foreigners had visited. On the other side, the Maoist insurgency is still continuing when we visit. If they hear that foreigners have been involved, they might close down PNL's work, including the small income-generating businesses that people have started, if they thought that Westerners were coming, introducing capitalism and Western corruption along with their help. Now, if you ride the bike, you notice that Nepal doesn't look like Everest, not this part of Nepal. It's beautiful, but we can't take any pictures. That would blow our cover too. We see mountains in the distance to the north, shrouded in mist, forested dark green in parts, scarred red from quarries, landslides and deforestation in others. But we turn away from the mountains and head south, plunging off the single-lane highway onto an endless plain. We skirt fields of rice, wheat and potatoes, men and women bent low, working, and we hold our breath as we judder across bamboo bridges over drains or monsoon creeks. As we enter each village, the chickens scatter. We see children drawing water from wells, village stores advertising cigarettes, Coca-Cola and whiskey, all the benefits of Western civilization and capitalism coming in, and there are flowers, marigolds, poinsettias and some purple flowers I don't know, adorning small temples. We dodge buffalo, goats and pigs and skirt around the thatched houses, mostly bamboo and mud, some made of concrete and wood. There are pumpkins everywhere and zucchinis too. They straggle around the houses and over the paths. Then we've arrived. Santosh turns off the engine. It's quiet, but we hear a class chanting timetables and a dog whimpering somewhere out of sight. Our visits begin. Waheed Ali is father to four. He lives with hemiparesis, which is partial paralysis down one side of his body. How did it happen? He himself was too ill to remember what happened, so his brother tells the story. Waheed fell ill just after his marriage 6 years ago. Glandular tuberculosis is common here. We knew what it was, so we saved up money and took him to the clinic in town. He had an allergic reaction to the medicine, and suddenly he couldn't talk, he couldn't move, he could barely breathe. We were frightened. We sold land to pay the doctors, the hospital, the nursing home. Some doctors said, "Take this medicine and he'll get better." Other doctors said, "He will never get better. There's nothing you can do. Take him home." Nothing we tried did any good. Waheed didn't die and he didn't get better. He just lay there, helpless, night and day. We thought, this must be the will of God. This is how his life will be. This is how our lives will be. Then our neighbour's wife heard about PNL at church, and she took us to see them. A physiotherapist came to see Waheed and said he needed exercises, not medicine. Then Santosh began to visit us. He listened to our worries. He answered our questions. He explained, Waheed will never get well, but he can improve. He can learn to walk. He might even work, but he needs you, his family, to believe in him and to help him to do things for himself. Santosh told us it would take a long time. We would need to be patient. He explained that the exercises were the most important thing. You see, we'd been trying to do everything for Waheed to show him that we loved him. But Santosh said, no, you love your brother most by letting him doing everything for himself that he can do and helping him to learn to do more. I asked Waheed, how has life changed? He said, before, I lay down all day, I lay down all night. People fed me, people gave me water, my family, they washed me, they took me to the bathroom. But now, I feed, wash and dress myself. I don't need to tell anyone when I need to go because I can go myself. I can even sit. I can walk a little. Each week, I walk a little better. I've done a tailoring course and started a small business. I make a little money. Not much, but something. I asked, of all these changes, what do you value most? Waheed said, I'm no longer a burden to my family. I'm a member of my family again. My brothers and father, they don't talk about me anymore. They talk to me. So does my wife. So do my children. Another house. Bibik Tapa lives with his grandparents. They are caring for him because it's very close to the school. A family friend heard that Bibik had stopped going to school because he could no longer walk the distance, even from his grandparents' house. He told the family about PNL and asked Santosh to visit. They learnt that their grandson had muscular dystrophy. They learnt that he would never get better, and even worse, they learnt that his younger brother might get the sickness too. While we're visiting, Bibik's father comes home. He's pleased to see us, but he's anxious. He asks Santosh, "When will Bibik walk again?" Santosh says, "Remember what I told you. You need to adjust your expectations. You love your son. You want the best for him. The best for Bibik is not the same as the best for other children. He will not walk again. His life may be short, but it is precious. You are sad. I understand that. But I know that you love him. Now, Bibik, tell your father what you were telling me. Tell him how much you're looking forward to the Diwali festival. How will you celebrate Diwali? Bibik, tell your father what you would like to do." The next story is not so sad. School is out when we arrive at this village. Ramracha runs when he sees us. He runs back, leading the way to their house. Ramnian, his brother, is 10 years old and he was born with a club foot. You might ask why that was not operated on when he was very young, a child. His father grows vegetables on a tiny plot of land and hires himself out as a labourer to local farmers. He couldn't afford to take time off to take his son to the hospital. How then would the family eat? 1 year ago, a Christian neighbour introduced this family to PNL. Since then, they have been able to get some financial assistance so that Chandrabhan, the father, could take his son to the surgical hospital 3 times and go twice more for surgery and follow-up care. He can't pay for the hospital, so the churches have raised money so that the hospital and accommodation and travel costs and a living allowance for the family can all be covered. There are exercises to do, which is why Santosh is visiting. I ask Ramnian if he ever gets lazy, because I know how hard it is to do physio 3 times a day. "Well, maybe I get a little bit lazy, but I want to do these exercises because I need to get well. Were you afraid of the surgery?" "Maybe a little. But if my father were too scared to take me there, then I'd go by myself. You see, I want to play cricket." Ramnian's mother confesses that both her sons are cricket crazy. Ramnian can't run, but he and his brother practice catching endlessly because one day he will be able to run with the surgery and then the exercises. She says it's not very convenient always, cricket. Sometimes she needs her son who can walk well to collect water, and all he wants to do is play cricket. Our final story. We meet Sunitra and Prakash at PNL's counselling centre, not in their home. This is where Sunitra meets with other mothers, shares ideas about how to make life easier, and receives moral support and encouragement. She is also taught exercises that she can do to relieve the tension in her son Prakash's twisted and tense limbs. Since coming to the centre, Prakash himself has learnt to sit with support. Previously, he could only roll around the floor. He can now hold a face to his cloth to catch the saliva that drools out. This is the most important thing. When he was dribbling, he could not go out in public. Saliva is thought to contaminate everything in Nepal. Now his father can carry him and take him out when he goes visiting and on celebrations as well. As I ask about their lives, Sunitra describes her life cheerfully and with gratitude. She's thankful, so thankful, for the many small ways that P&L has helped her to care for her son more fully. She is even more grateful that her husband is dedicated and supportive to both of them, that he loves her son, their son, and hasn't left them. She says that the one thing she prays for most, the thing that would help her most, would be if her husband didn't have to go away to India to work in a factory, but could find work there in Nepal with them. Prakash and his care is hard work. He's small, he's thin, and he needs to be because his only way out of the house is with her carrying him on her back. There's no level paths to push a wheelchair on. She carries him. How does she manage? Sunitra answers, "It's an honour to care for my son. Prakash is such a beautiful, generous boy. He gives so much more than he receives. I love him. I would do anything to make him happy. But yes, it's hard. The hardest thing is the memories. Every time I look at him, every time I feed him and dress him, I remember the boy he was before he caught malaria." Prakash was not born with cerebral palsy. He got malaria and the high fever left him as he is now. Before his 7th birthday, he played cricket. He ran around. He was cheeky. Their lives are forever changed. But their lives still speak of love, and the work with P&L speaks of love, their care for the most vulnerable of God's children. It speaks of how the churches together are enacting love in their local community, raising the money to pay Santosh and other workers, providing networks of support and prayer, and the political work. Politics can be love in action. They are seeking to build a world in Nepal, a country in Nepal, where fewer children get malaria, where the parents can afford to buy the nets they need, where children don't need to wait and wait to get their clubfoot surgery, but can have it early without financial constraints keeping them disabled. These are all changes that can happen. It was so encouraging to see Santosh, for whom this work is absolutely a vocation. Our three readings this morning all came from the prophet Isaiah. Two were from earlier on in the book, the context about which we've talked before, with the Assyrian Empire having defeated the northern kingdom and now threatening the south. One was from towards the middle, or the middle kind of end of the book, which is anticipating a time when Jerusalem itself would fall and Judah would be conquered, not by the Assyrians but the Babylonians. And there's God's words of comfort and promise and hope that even the eunuchs would have a future better than sons and daughters. These are war captives. There are eunuchs there. It's not a metaphor, it's real. They have a future too. Just like Prakash and the other children whose stories we've heard have a future in God. And the foreigners, those who don't think they belong, they have a future as well. Did you notice, as Cassandra read, the little phrase, "all those who keep my Sabbath"? The Sabbaths are a kind of code word for living God's way. Reading. Happy is the human who does this, the one who holds the Sabbath fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing evil. And then, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose to do the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant, to them in my house and within my walls, I will give a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast to my covenant, they shall be welcome in my temple and on my mountain, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. This covenant is all about the political side of life, the one-on-one love mirrored in the collective love that creates a society in which everyone is cared for, everyone is free to flourish, and no one is oppressed. The beginning of our first reading this morning is about that. God sent his son into the world to save the world, but that doesn't mean that we don't have work to do. Isaiah 56 begins, "Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed." Because Jesus came, because Jesus is coming again, we do justice, we do what is right, we do that one-on-one love, particularly for those closest to us for whom we are responsible, for whom we have that special love relationship, but also for our society and our world. It means we have to be a little bit less nervous about being political. It means we need to be able to think and speak about economics, about how the things we buy or the holidays we take love our global neighbours or don't. These are all expressions of love. This is United Mission to Nepal's fullness of life diagram, how they see their work with everything connected. If we're going to live love, love that gives life, love that enables others to live fully as God intended, we need to be involved in all parts of the world, in all parts of shaping and restoring our societies and our environment. And you could, if you were able to visit, see all of those dimensions of love being enacted in PNL's work. Just like prison fellowship, they're not trying to take the children from their parents, they're helping the parents or grandparents care for their children better, but they're also working in the wider society and with the government to bring hope and freedom, to work for justice, to have a sustainable environment that can enable the people to flourish. They talk about economics too and what can help the poorest people in Nepal care for their families more fully and not have financial constraints. Consign children and adults too to live with disability rather than living the healthy life that they might otherwise have had. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you commanded us to love each other as you first loved us. You commanded us to love our neighbour as ourselves. We are so aware that our neighbour is global these days, that our neighbour is not just our nuclear family, but anyone with whom we connect, whether directly or indirectly. As we prepare for you coming into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, enable us to live as people who walk God's way, who keep the covenant, who live love in action. Help us to delight in the one-on-one care that is each of our responsibilities. It is hard at times, but it's important. Help us, whatever our own family relationships may be, to respect the dignity and worth of each of your children, no matter what shape their lives might take, no matter their colour or tradition, their political persuasion. Help us to love in action as well as in thought and word. Amen.